Have you ever wondered how the Holy Spirit can dwell within you? In his teachings, Jesus revealed profound and transformative secrets about how we become living temples of God's Spirit. He not only promised to send the Comforter, but also explained clearly what we must do to live in full communion with him. In this video, we will explore the 8 secrets Jesus taught, from the importance of faith, humility, and love to obedience, perseverance, and fellowship with others. These secrets serve as spiritual keys that open the heart to the divine presence. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, these lessons have the power to transform your life. Stay with us until the end, because each secret is a fundamental piece in understanding God's purpose for your life. And remember, the Holy Spirit is not a distant mystery, but a living and real promise for those who genuinely seek him. The secret Jesus revealed about how the Holy Spirit can dwell in you is simple. Acknowledge your need for God. This truth is evidenced in Matthew 5:3, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Being poor in spirit does not mean lacking material possessions, but having an inner attitude of humility, recognizing that we are spiritually needy and wholly dependent on God. This is the first step in preparing your heart to receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus exemplified this need for dependence in John 15:5, saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This declaration shows that humility means understanding that without God, our strength is insufficient. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a heart that clings to pride or self-sufficiency, as these attitudes block communion with God. James 4:6 reinforces this. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. This verse makes it clear that pride distances us from divine grace, while humility draws us closer. The Holy Spirit is a gift God offers, but only to those who humble themselves and acknowledge their inability to live without him. This is one of the reasons Jesus valued repentance and surrender so highly, as evidenced in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18:9-14. In this story, the Pharisee prayed, boasting of his good deeds, while the tax collector cried out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus stated that it was the tax collector, not the Pharisee, who went home justified. The Holy Spirit finds room in humble hearts willing to admit their weaknesses. Humility also leads us to seek God in prayer. In Mark 1:35, we see that Jesus, the very Son of God, often withdrew to solitary places to pray. He knew that dependence on the Father was essential to fulfilling his mission. This example teaches us that if even Jesus recognized his need for constant connection with the Father, how much more should we do the same? Prayer is a practical expression of humility, acknowledging that we need God's guidance and power to live. Another demonstration of humility is the acceptance of divine discipline. Hebrews 12:6 says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." A humble heart accepts correction, understanding that God acts to shape our character and prepare us to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Pride, on the other hand, rejects discipline, creating a barrier to God's work. Humility also involves gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul instructs us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. A grateful heart acknowledges that every good thing comes from God. When we cultivate gratitude, we reaffirm our dependence on him, creating an environment conducive to the Holy Spirit's presence. A practical example of this secret is seen in the life of the Apostle Peter. Before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter, full of self-confidence, said in Matthew 26:33, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Yet shortly afterward, he denied Jesus 3 times. This failure taught Peter the necessity of total dependence on God. After his restoration, recorded in John 21:15-19, Peter became a transformed man, filled with the Holy Spirit, as seen in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. He learned that true strength comes from dependence on God, not self-sufficiency. When we acknowledge our need for God, we surrender control of our lives to Him. It is an act of surrender that demonstrates humility and trust. This surrender allows the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, transform us, and empower us to fulfill God's purpose. As Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Christ's gentleness and humility are the perfect example of how we should position ourselves before God. In John 7:37-39, Jesus gave a powerful invitation. "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." John explains that he was referring to the Holy Spirit, who would be given to those who believe. The first step to drinking from this living water is recognizing that we are thirsty, an attitude of humility that opens the heart to receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to experience this divine presence, start by acknowledging your total dependence on God. It's not about perfection, but about a heart willing to admit its weaknesses, seek God in prayer, accept His discipline, and cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Humility is the foundation upon which the Holy Spirit builds His dwelling in you. The second secret Jesus revealed for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you is to believe in the unseen. True faith is the foundation for receiving the Holy Spirit, as God moves where there is trust in His word and promises. In John 6:29, Jesus declared, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." Faith is the human heart's response to divine action. Without it, the Holy Spirit cannot fully dwell in you, as it is through faith that we open the doors of our being to His presence. The importance of faith is highlighted in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. True faith is not just believing that God exists, but trusting that He fulfills His promises, even when we do not see immediate results. This trust is essential to receive the Holy Spirit, as He is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, as stated in John 14:16-17. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." This faith is not a fleeting emotion or superficial belief, but a firm conviction in God's character. In Mark 11:22-24, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Here Jesus was not only speaking about physical miracles, but about the power of true faith that removes spiritual obstacles and connects us to the Holy Spirit. True faith is demonstrated through actions. James 2:26 states, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." It is not enough to say we believe, we must live according to that faith. When we trust God, our choices reflect that trust. Obedience to God's word is evidence of true faith, and it is through this obedience that the Holy Spirit manifests. A practical example of true faith is found in John 4:46-53. In the story of the royal official who asked Jesus to heal his son. When Jesus said, "Go, your son will live," the man believed Jesus' word before seeing any evidence. He demonstrated a faith that did not rely on immediate signs and as a result experienced the miracle. The Holy Spirit operates similarly in our lives. We believe first and see the results later. True faith also requires perseverance. In Luke 18:1-8, Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow who pleaded for justice from a judge. Although the judge was unjust, he granted her request because of her persistence. Jesus concluded the parable by asking, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Here, he emphasized that true faith does not give up, even in the face of challenges or delays. This perseverance is essential to receive the Holy Spirit, as he is given to those who trust and wait on God. Another vital aspect of true faith is trusting in what is unseen. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul states, "We live by faith, not by sight." The presence of the Holy Spirit is often not immediately felt or tangible, but faith allows us to believe that he is within us, guiding and transforming our lives. This trust enables us to walk in obedience, even when we do not perceive visible results. A striking example of faith in the unseen is in Acts 1:4-5, when Jesus instructed the disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The disciples obeyed, waiting for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit without knowing exactly what it would be like. Their faith in what Jesus had promised was rewarded at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon them in power. Finally, true faith requires total surrender. In Galatians 2:20, Paul declares, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Total surrender to God is the culmination of true faith. When we place our full trust in God, we make room for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, guide our decisions, and transform us completely. The third secret Jesus revealed for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you is to love God and your neighbor. Love is not merely a feeling, it is the essence of the Christian life and the foundation for the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 22, 37-39, Jesus answered the question about the greatest commandment by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are not independent. Together, they reflect the kind of heart where the Holy Spirit resides. Jesus explained in John 14:23 that love for God is directly tied to obedience. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." True love is not only declared, but demonstrated through actions. When we obey God, we show that we love him wholeheartedly, creating an environment where the Holy Spirit can remain. This love is not limited to God, it extends to others. In John 13, 34-35, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The Holy Spirit works powerfully where there is genuine love among Christians, as love reflects the divine nature. Loving others is not always easy, but it is essential for those who desire the Holy Spirit's indwelling. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus taught, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This love transcends the natural and is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we choose to love even in difficult situations, we allow the Holy Spirit to empower and transform our hearts. Love is also a fruit of the Spirit, as described in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. This means the Holy Spirit not only dwells in hearts filled with love, but also enables us to love divinely. The more we open ourselves to the Spirit, the more he produces this love in us, overflowing to others. A practical example of this secret is found in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10:30-37. In this parable, Jesus illustrated what it means to love your neighbor, regardless of cultural, religious, or personal differences. The Samaritan demonstrated love by helping a wounded stranger while others passed by. This sacrificial love reflects the kind of heart where the Holy Spirit desires to dwell. Moreover, in 1 John 4:20-21, we are warned, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." This shows that love for God and love for others are inseparable, and both are essential for the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Love also manifests in forgiveness. In Mark 11:25, Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Forgiveness is a practical expression of love and a prerequisite for our prayers to be heard. Without forgiveness, we create barriers to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Another aspect of love is caring for those in need. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus stated, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Demonstrating love to the marginalized is demonstrating love to Christ himself. This care reflects God's heart and invites the presence of the Holy Spirit. Finally, love must be sincere and without hypocrisy. In Romans 12, 9-10, Paul instructs, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." The Holy Spirit operates where there is sincerity, and true love reflects this authenticity. Sincere love is the fertile ground where the Holy Spirit can plant and nurture his work. The fourth secret Jesus revealed for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you is to live in obedience to God's will. Obedience is not merely an external act, but a profound expression of submission and reverence to God, demonstrating complete trust in his plans. In John 14:15, Jesus declared, "If you love me, keep my commands." Obedience is the pathway to experiencing the transformative presence of the Holy Spirit. This relationship between obedience and the Holy Spirit is highlighted in Acts 5:32, where Peter stated, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Obedience opens the doors for the Holy Spirit to work, as it shows alignment with God's divine purpose. God grants his Spirit to those who wholeheartedly submit to his will, because an obedient heart is a reliable vessel for fulfilling his plans. Jesus is the ultimate example of obedience. In Philippians 2:8, Paul writes that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Through his complete obedience to the Father, Jesus showed us that the path to the fullness of the Holy Spirit lies in total surrender to God's will, even when obedience demands sacrifice. Obedience to God involves listening and acting. In Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus told the parable of the two builders. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Obedience is hearing God's word and putting it into action. Merely hearing without acting is like building a house on sand, unstable and vulnerable to life's storms. The Holy Spirit dwells in those who build their lives on the rock of obedience. Another fundamental aspect of obedience is following the Holy Spirit's guidance in specific situations. In Galatians 5:25, Paul instructs, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." This means obedience extends beyond Scripture to include listening to the Holy Spirit's voice and allowing Him to guide our daily decisions. Sensitivity to His direction is a sign of living in harmony with God. Obedience also requires courage. In Joshua 1:7, God said, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Following God's will often runs counter to the world's ways and demands determination to stay faithful. The Holy Spirit strengthens those who choose obedience, empowering them to live faithfully even amidst challenges. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel declared, "To obey is better than sacrifice." This verse emphasizes that God values not just external actions, but the inner disposition to obey. Many try to please God through rituals or good deeds, but without an obedient heart, these actions lose their value. The Holy Spirit dwells in hearts that prioritize obedience over religious formalism. Obedience to God's will also entails turning away from sin. In Romans 6:16, Paul writes, "You are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." Choosing to obey God means submitting to righteousness, creating a pure environment for the Holy Spirit to dwell. We cannot maintain fellowship with the Spirit while clinging to practices contrary to God's will. Moreover, obedience must be complete, not partial. In Luke 5:4-6, when Jesus instructed Peter to cast the nets into deep waters, Peter initially hesitated but said, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." Peter's obedience resulted in a miraculous catch of fish. This teaches us that obedience, even when we do not fully understand God's plans, paves the way for spiritual and material blessings. Obedience should also be immediate. In Matthew 4:19-20, Jesus called Peter and Andrew, saying, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." The Bible notes that at once they left their nets and followed him. Prompt obedience demonstrates faith and a willingness to put God first, key elements in inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives. Finally, obedience bears fruit. In John 15:10, Jesus promised, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." Remaining in God's love and in the presence of the Holy Spirit is a direct result of a life of obedience. This ongoing relationship with God is only possible when we live according to His will, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our every step. The fifth secret Jesus revealed for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you is purification through repentance of your sins. This purification is fundamental because the Holy Spirit cannot reside in a heart stained by sin. Repentance is the path God provides to restore our communion with Him and create an environment where His presence can fully dwell. Jesus began His ministry with a direct call to repentance. In Matthew 4:17, we read His first public words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Repentance is one of the first steps toward drawing closer to God, as it acknowledges the need for change and submission to His will. The Holy Spirit does not operate in a heart that clings to sin without the intent to abandon it. To repent means not only to feel remorse, but to make a conscious decision to turn away from sin and turn toward God. In Luke 15:7, Jesus stated, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." This verse highlights that repentance not only restores our relationship with God, but also draws heavenly attention. True repentance is celebrated because it reflects a heart humbled and open to the work of the Holy Spirit. Repentance involves confessing sins. In 1 John 1:9, we read, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Confession is not merely an act of acknowledgement, but a plea for purification. When we confess our sins, we recognize our inability to cleanse ourselves and ask God to transform us. This transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit in a repentant heart. Jesus emphasized the importance of purification in John 13:8 during the Last Supper. When Peter refused to let Jesus wash his feet, Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Although the act of washing feet was symbolic, It illustrates the necessity of being cleansed by Christ to have communion with Him. The Holy Spirit resides in hearts purified by Christ's work, accomplished through repentance and faith. Repentance also involves abandoning sinful habits. In John 8:11, Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, "Go now and leave your life of sin." This instruction was not merely a warning, but an invitation to a life transformed by grace. The Holy Spirit works in a heart willing to leave behind practices that displease God and live in obedience. Abandoning sin is an act of submission, demonstrating a genuine desire to live for God. In Acts 3:19, Peter preached about repentance. "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Repentance not only erases sins, but also brings spiritual refreshment, a renewal that prepares the heart for the Holy Spirit's dwelling. This refreshment is a sign that God is restoring and renewing our spiritual life. True repentance is accompanied by visible fruits. In Matthew 3:8, John the Baptist exhorted, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." This means repentance is not merely a verbal declaration, but something reflected in our actions. The fruits of repentance include a change in behavior, attitudes more aligned with God's word, and a heart sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. In Isaiah 1:18, God offers a powerful promise. "Come now, let us settle the matter," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." This purification is only possible when we repent and submit to God's transformative work. The Holy Spirit is drawn to hearts seeking this purity, not by their merit, but through God's grace. Another essential aspect of repentance is forgiving others. In Matthew 6, 14-15, Jesus taught, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgiving others demonstrates that we understand the magnitude of the forgiveness we have received from God. The Holy Spirit operates in forgiving hearts because forgiveness reflects God's character. Repentance also requires the courage to face the consequences of sin. In Luke 19:8-9, we find the story of Zacchaeus, who declared to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus's repentance was accompanied by practical actions to correct his wrongs. This demonstration of genuine repentance brought salvation to his house and opened space for God's work in his life. Finally, repentance is a continuous response to God's holiness. In Revelation 3:19, Jesus says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." Repentance is not a one-time event, but a lifestyle. It keeps us sensitive to the Holy Spirit and helps us stay on God's path. Each act of repentance renews our commitment to God and prepares our hearts to be a purer and more receptive dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. The sixth secret Jesus taught for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you is to seek with perseverance and not give up. Perseverance means continuing to seek God's presence, even in the face of challenges, silence, or apparent delays in responses. The Holy Spirit is given to those who hunger and thirst for Him, who do not cease to cry out, seek, and wait, regardless of circumstances. This persistent pursuit demonstrates genuine faith and a burning desire for a deeper connection with God. Jesus illustrated this principle in Luke 11:9-10, saying, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." These imperative verbs, ask, seek, knock, indicate that the pursuit of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time action, but a persistent process. Persistent prayer, studying the Word, and fellowship with God open the doors for the Holy Spirit to fully dwell in our lives. Perseverance is essential because God's actions often do not occur immediately. In Acts 1:4-5, Jesus instructed his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, the Holy Spirit. This waiting required patience and faith, as they did not know exactly when the Spirit would come. Only after days of persistent prayer did the Holy Spirit descend upon them on Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2. This narrative teaches us that God honors those who wait expectantly and persist in His presence. In Luke 18:1-8, Jesus told the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. The widow continuously pleaded for justice until the judge, though unjust, granted her request because of her persistence. Jesus concluded the parable by asking, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This parable not only teaches about prayer, but also about the kind of persistent faith God seeks. Those who do not give up in their pursuit of the Holy Spirit demonstrate genuine desire and unwavering commitment to God. Persevering in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit also means overcoming moments of discouragement. In Galatians 6:9, Paul exhorts, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." This truth applies to spiritual pursuit. Often, the fruits of our efforts and dedication come in God's appointed time, not ours. The Holy Spirit is given to those who remain steadfast, even when immediate results are not evident. Spiritual perseverance also requires discipline. In 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, Paul compares the Christian life to a race where athletes strive and discipline themselves to achieve victory. Just as an athlete trains consistently, we must seek God daily, dedicating time to prayer, meditation on the Word, and worship. This spiritual routine creates an environment conducive to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of perseverance is dealing with doubt. In James 1:6-8, we are instructed to ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The pursuit of the Holy Spirit must be marked by firm conviction that God hears our prayers and is faithful to fulfill His promises. Doubt and inconsistency can lead us astray, but perseverance keeps us steady on the journey. Perseverance is also an expression of dependence. In John 15:4-5, Jesus spoke of the need to remain in Him as branches remain in the vine to bear fruit. Remaining is an act of perseverance, of continuing in communion with Christ, which allows the Holy Spirit to work fully within us. This continuous connection is not automatic. It requires intentional effort to keep our relationship with God alive and active. In Exodus 33:15-16, we see Moses' example of refusing to settle for anything less than God's presence. He said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Moses persistently sought God's glory and the assurance of His presence, even after witnessing many miracles. This persistence in seeking more of God is a model for those desiring the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Perseverance in pursuing the Holy Spirit also involves resilience in the face of trials. In Romans 5:3-5, Paul writes, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The difficulties we face while seeking God are not obstacles, but opportunities for growth, preparing us to receive more of His presence. Additionally, perseverance demonstrates submission to God's sovereignty. In Habakkuk 2:3, the prophet declares, "For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." This verse teaches that God's plans have a perfect timing, and our role is to wait with patience and faith. The presence of the Holy Spirit is a guaranteed promise, but we are called to persevere until it manifests fully. Finally, perseverance is also an act of worship. In Acts 16:25-26, Paul and Silas, beaten and imprisoned, prayed and sang hymns to God in the middle of the night. Despite their adverse circumstances, they did not stop seeking God's presence. As a result, an earthquake opened the prison doors and brought deliverance. This episode shows us that perseverance in worship and prayer, even in difficult situations, attracts God's intervention and paves the way for His presence. Therefore, persevering in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit means remaining steadfast in prayer, worship, and fellowship with God, even in the face of challenges, doubts, or apparent delays. It is trusting that God honors those who seek Him consistently and fervently, and that His presence is a faithful promise to those who do not give up. The seventh secret for the Holy Spirit to dwell within you is to live in fellowship and unity with other followers of Christ. The Spirit's presence is amplified where harmony exists among members of the body of Christ. As God works powerfully in the midst of unity, the Holy Spirit does not fully operate amidst disorder or divisions, but manifests uniquely when believers live in love and cooperation. Jesus emphasized the importance of unity in John 17:21-23, when He prayed to the Father, "That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me." Unity among Jesus' followers reflects the divine fellowship between the Father and the Son and is a visible demonstration of the Holy Spirit's presence. This prayer is not merely a wish, but an invitation to live in genuine unity where the Spirit works powerfully. Pentecost, as described in Acts 2:1-4, is a clear example of the power of fellowship. Before the Holy Spirit descended, the disciples were gathered in one place with one purpose in prayer and unity. In this atmosphere of harmony and collective seeking, the Holy Spirit was poured out with power. The disciples' unity created the perfect setting for divine manifestation, demonstrating that the Holy Spirit moves where there is a collective heart willing to seek Him. Fellowship also involves sharing life with other believers. Acts 2:42-47 tells us that the early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They lived in community, sharing resources, caring for one another, and worshiping together. This communal lifestyle not only strengthened their bonds, but also created an environment where the Holy Spirit could work freely, resulting in spiritual growth and the spread of the gospel. Unity among believers is essential because the body of Christ functions as an interdependent organism. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, Paul describes Christians as members of one body, each with a specific function. He emphasizes, "The body is not made up of one part, but of many." This metaphor illustrates that every Christian has a unique role, but all must work together for the body to function fully. When there is harmony among the members, the Holy Spirit operates through the body for mutual edification and the advancement of God's kingdom. Genuine fellowship also requires reconciliation and forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:3, Paul exhorts, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Maintaining unity demands intentional effort to resolve conflicts, avoid divisions, and promote peace. Reconciliation is a practical way to demonstrate God's love and create an environment where the Holy Spirit can dwell. Another aspect of fellowship is mutual encouragement. Hebrews 10:24-25 instructs, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." Christian fellowship strengthens us spiritually as we are challenged and built up through mutual support. The Holy Spirit works through these interactions to bring renewal and growth. Spiritual unity is also strengthened by a commitment to truth. In Ephesians 4:15-16, Paul writes, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Truth is the foundation of Christian fellowship, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth, as promised by Jesus in John 16:13. Fellowship in the Spirit also manifests through mutual intercession. James 5:16 exhorts, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Praying for one another not only strengthens bonds between believers, but also opens the way for the Holy Spirit to act. Collective intercession has a powerful impact, reflecting unity and shared dependence on God. Another crucial element of fellowship is service. In Galatians 5:13, Paul reminds us, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." The Holy Spirit empowers believers to serve one another with spiritual gifts and talents, fostering the edification of the Christian community. Service is a practical expression of fellowship and a reflection of the Spirit's presence in our lives. Fellowship is also expressed in collective celebrations. Psalm 133:1 declares, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." Moments of collective worship, such as church services and celebrations, create an environment where the Holy Spirit moves in a special way. These occasions not only strengthen our faith, but also connect us with one another in adoration of God. Finally, fellowship in the Spirit is preparation for eternity. In Revelation 7:9-10, John describes a vision of a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, worshiping together before God's throne. This image reflects the ultimate purpose of Christian fellowship: to unite as one body to glorify God. As we live in unity here on earth, we are preparing for the full manifestation of heavenly fellowship, where we will forever be in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. The eighth secret that Jesus revealed to ensure the Holy Spirit dwells within you is to live with a grateful heart, filled with continuous praise and worship to God. Gratitude is not merely an emotional response, but a state of mind that acknowledges God's sovereignty in all circumstances. It creates a spiritual environment conducive to the Holy Spirit's presence, because a grateful heart demonstrates humility, faith, and submission to God's will. Jesus exemplified gratitude to the Father on various occasions, such as in John 11:41, before raising Lazarus. He looked up to heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Even before the miracle occurred, Jesus expressed gratitude, showing that worship does not depend on visible outcomes, but on trust in God's faithfulness. This attitude teaches us that gratitude precedes the manifestation of God's power, creating space for the Holy Spirit to act. In Luke 17:11-19, we find the account of the 10 lepers healed by Jesus, but only one returned to give thanks. He was a Samaritan, considered a foreigner by the Jews. Jesus said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This episode demonstrates that gratitude not only acknowledges the blessings received, but also deepens our relationship with God, as the Holy Spirit moves in hearts that value His works. Gratitude is also an essential element of prayer. In Philippians 4:6-7, Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer accompanied by gratitude connects us to the Holy Spirit, who grants us peace and security even amid difficulties. A grateful heart acknowledges God's sovereignty in all things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul instructs, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This teaching challenges us to be thankful even when facing adversity. Gratitude in tough times reflects a mature faith that trusts in God's purpose, and the Holy Spirit acts powerfully in those who maintain this attitude. Worship is another fundamental component of a grateful heart. Psalm 104 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Gratitude leads us to worship God not only for what he does, but for who he is. This worship creates an environment where the Holy Spirit manifests freely because gratitude exalts God's glory and keeps our focus on him. Expressing gratitude also involves testifying about God's works. In Psalm 107:2, the psalmist declares, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe." Sharing what God has done in our lives not only strengthens our faith, but also inspires others to seek the Holy Spirit. Testimony is a form of praise that recognizes and proclaims God's goodness. Gratitude should not be limited to words, but should be accompanied by actions. In Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This means our daily attitudes and choices should reflect a grateful heart. When we live this way, the Holy Spirit finds room to work in our lives because our actions align with God's will. Additionally, gratitude protects us from negative attitudes like complaining and discontent. In Numbers 14, 27-30, God reprimanded the Israelites for their constant grumbling in the wilderness, which prevented them from entering the promised land. In contrast, a grateful heart maintains a positive perspective, even during trials, and this posture attracts the Holy Spirit's presence. Gratitude also involves recognizing the small blessings in daily life. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus draws attention to the birds of the air, which are fed by God, and the lilies of the field, which are clothed in splendor. When we become aware of God's daily provisions, we develop a spirit of constant gratitude. This daily acknowledgement keeps us connected to the Holy Spirit, who teaches us to see God's hand in all aspects of life. Music is a powerful way to express gratitude and worship. In Ephesians 5, 18-20, Paul exhorts, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Musical praise not only edifies the singer, but also creates a collective atmosphere of worship where the Holy Spirit manifests. Finally, gratitude is a natural response to understanding God's grace. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul exclaims, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." When we recognize the depth of God's love for us, reflected in Jesus Christ, we cannot help but be grateful. This acknowledgement draws us closer to the Holy Spirit, who is the seal of our salvation and God's continuous gift in our lives. Now that you have discovered the secrets Jesus revealed for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, it's time to put these teachings into practice and allow your life to be transformed by God's presence. Each of these steps is a powerful key to a deeper and more fulfilling walk with the Holy Spirit, but don't keep these truths to yourself. If this content has blessed your life, subscribe to the channel to continue receiving more messages like this. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss any videos, and share this teaching with friends, family, and church groups. Together, we can bring God's word to more hearts and impact lives around the world. Also, leave a comment below, sharing which of these secrets resonated most with you. We're in this journey together. See you in the next video.